Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Chattaro me vyagga pajya dhamma kula puttassa ditta dhamma hitaya sangvattanti ditta dhamma sukhaya katame chattaro uttana sampada arakha sampada Kalyana mittata samajivikatati.
Homage to the exalted one, the worthy one, the supremely enlightened one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Dear friends in Dhamma, here we are going to explain one of the discourses named Vyagapajya. Which comes in Anguttara Nikaya, in Sutta Pitaka. And here, Buddha explained the conditions that are useful for our this life and hereafter. The reason of this discourse is that one of the householders one day came to Buddha and ask some questions. Dear Bhante, let me know, what are the things that I should practice for well-being in this life? And also, please tell me, what are the things that are useful to hereafter, in my next birth? That is the reason why Buddha explained this discourse. What is the name of this discourse? Vyagapajya Sutta. Vyagapajya Digajana Sutta o Vyagapajya Sutta. It comes in Anguttara Nikaya. On one occasion, when the Blessed One was at Kakkarapatta in India, Digajana, a householder, came to visit the Supreme Buddha. After bowing down, Vyagapajya sitting on the side, and he told the Blessed One, Bhante, we are lay people enjoying sensuality, living crowded with spouses and children, using kasi fabrics and sandalwood, wearing garlands, scents and creams, handling gold and silver. May the Blessed One teach the Dhamma for those like us, for our happiness and well-being in this life and in future lives. This is the reason why the Buddha explained these facts in this discourse. Okay, before I explain this discourse, I would like to explain something what Buddhism is. In short, what Buddhism is, that the path of purification of our mind. According to Buddha's word in Pali, Buddha says, Sachitta Paryodapanam, Etang Buddhana Sasanam. Purifying one's mind is the Buddha's message. On the other side, the Buddha pointed out the way how we become happiness. Happiness is the main purpose of everyone. Buddhist doctrines focus on how we achieve the real happiness. And also, even though we need happiness, we should be wise to how we gain real happiness. Usually, the common people in the world, they think that if they have a lot of money and properties, and if they are well educated, they are happy. That is the general idea. But it is not true always. According to Buddhist point of view, our happiness depends on how far we have reduced our negative thoughts, unwholesome mental states, negative thoughts. All negative thoughts, according to Buddhism, can be included into three. What they are? Greed, desire, lust or covetousness, and anger or ill will, and delusion or ignorance. Greed, anger, and delusion are the main unwholesome mental states that disturb our peace of mind. Buddha says very clearly, it is very easy to defeat a thousand of enemies in a battlefield. It is not a big thing. It is not hard. What is the difficult thing? That defeating our inner enemies, negative thoughts, greed, anger, and delusion. This is the difficult thing. If you want to win your life, you have to defeat these negative thoughts from your mind. In this situation, happiness is the main goal, final purpose of everyone. Happiness depends on how far we have reduced negative thoughts. Reducing negative thoughts depends on how far we are mindful. Mindfulness helps us to overcome negative thoughts. Practicing mindfulness in Buddhism depends on understanding the dependent origination, cause and effect, arising and ceasing of suffering. It depends on understanding the paticca-samuppada, or cause and effect. Understanding the dependent origination depends on listening to what Buddha taught. Okay? Listening to what the Buddha taught depends on good association, good friendship, noble association. This is like a, you know, chain. Happiness, reducing defilements, mindfulness, understanding the dependent origination, listening to Dhamma, good association. Those things are interrelated. And if we have these things, little by little, we can go to the deeper level in this understanding. According to Buddhist point of view, the path of Buddhist path, like the ocean, you know, the ocean deepens gradually from beach to the deeper water. Buddha says, his message also like that. Little by little, the message deepens. In his sermons, we can see this order. Buddha says, I explain this message as an order. It has a gradual path. Buddha says, when he explains Dhamma, he explains Dana Kata, Sila Kata, Sagga Kata, Kamanang Adi Navang, Okaran Sankilesang, Nekkam Mechani Sansang. Did you understand?
A little bit, yes,
in Pali. Dana Katha means the stories of generosity. Sila Katha means the stories of virtue. Sagga Katha, the stories of heaven. Kamanang Adinavam, the danger of sense desire. Okaran Sankilesan, the nature of defilements, negative thoughts. Nekkametani sansang, the benefits of renunciation, getting rid of or overcoming sensual pleasure. And when the audience is settled down with the understanding of these stories, Buddha gradually explains the Four Noble Truths. That is the way that Buddha did when he was preaching Dhamma. First, Buddha explained what are the benefits of generosity, what are the benefits of sila or virtue, how we go to a blissful life, like heavenly realm or Parātma realm. Kāma naṁ ādīnavaṁ, what are the dangers of sensual pleasure? And okāraṁ saṅkhileṣaṁ, the nature of our defilements, negative thoughts. What are the disturbances of having negative thoughts? And nekkhammetāni saṅsaṁ, when we go away from attachments, what are the benefits of those things? And also then finally, when audience is very calm and quiet, when their mind is very calm and quiet, Buddha says, how suffering arises, what we should do to overcome suffering, Four Noble Truths, with the knowledge of the dependent origination, cause and effect. That is the path of Buddhist point of view that Buddha explained. On the other side, one day Buddha says, I explain to the world only two things. They are the truth of suffering, the cessation of suffering. How suffering arises, how suffering ceases. Whenever we look at something, whatever we experience through our senses ignorantly, then we are in the samsaric circle. If we are in the samsaric circle, it means we are not away from aging, death, and rebirth. In short, when we experience something through our six senses, if we think there is something or there is some person outside, even though we are pleasant at the moment, even though our mind is pure with that person or things, we are in the samsaric circle. What is the reason? We depend on outside. When those things in outside change, automatically we get upset. We are suffering. Buddhist point of view, or all Buddhist doctrines focus on how we depend on inside. Inside means not only mind, but depending on wisdom, reflecting on impermanence. Then we have overcome material things in outside. And here, first of all, we should understand what Buddha explains for the benefits of this birth. Buddha says, Vyagapajya, there are four conditions that are useful for this life. Four conditions help a householder's well-being and happiness in this life. What they are? Uttana Sampada. Actually, that is very interesting thing. Even though he is a lay person, having children, spouses, he believes next birth. Buddha met some people who believed only this birth. Fortunately, this person believed next birth too. Even though he spent a luxurious life, and even though he had spouses and children wearing, kasi fabrics and silver and gold, he believes next birth. That is the very important thing. That is why he asked the Buddha, please explain me what are the benefits to this birth, this life, and hereafter. First, Buddha explained what are the things that are useful to this life. The very first one, Uttana Sampada, the accomplishment of determined effort.
we should work hard in our employment and education. Both of them are very important. Buddha says not only having good jobs, but Buddhism always encourages us to have a good education. Buddha says, if elders or parents have children, one of their duties is that to give a good education to their children. Sippan sikkhapenti, giving good education to their children. That is one of the duties of elders or parents. Okay? That is a very important thing. The other one is, according to our education, we should work hard and we should earn something hard and righteously. Both of them are very important. Buddha hasn't given us a limit. We can earn anything, but there is a rule. What is that? We should earn something righteously. That is very important. Honestly, that is the limit in Buddhism. And also, when we earn something, we can practice a lot of jobs. We can do a lot of jobs, such as by trading, cattle tending, and as a kinsman, and farming or cultivating something. These are the righteous jobs that Buddha has explained in our life. And also, in Buddhism, there are some jobs that are prohibited in Buddhism. You know? What they are?
Dealing in slaves.
Yes.
Weapons.
Drugs. Yes.
Poisons.
Yes, very good.
Presumably that would be drugs as well, would it?
Gambling.
Yes, those are the things that Buddhism has prohibited. Okay? Without those jobs, we can earn money as much as we like righteously. Okay? That is the thing that Buddha explained as the first thing for the well-being of people in this life. Okay? Effort or determined effort, Uttana Sampada. The second one, the accomplishment of watchfulness, Arakka Sampada. Not only we should earn something righteously, but we should protect it. That is also very important from, you know, kings, from robbers, from fires. We have to protect the things that we earn righteously and hard. That is also very important. Protecting. And on the other side, for the, you know, businessman, Buddha has explained, we have to save something for our future businesses. And one of them we can spend in our day-to-day life, and especially for businessmen, they have to earn something. They have to save something for their future goals. That is also very important. The second one is Arakka Sampada. We should protect what we earned hard and righteously. That is the second one which is beneficial for our this life. Okay? The third one, Kalyana Mittata. What is that? Good friendship. We should have good friends. Why is that? If we have bad friends, what happens to our wealth? Sometimes in a day, everything may be finished. That is why we should associate good friends. That is also a very important thing. That is useful not only for this life, but it helps us up to our Nibbana or enlightenment. Especially for our spiritual life, noble association is very important. Okay? And the fourth one, Samajivikata, balance. Livelihood. We should spend our money that we earned hard according to our income. Our income and expenditure should be balanced. That is very important. When we deal something with our money, with others, we should understand again and again, will my income exceed my expenditure? And will my expenditure not exceed my income? That is very important. We should have a balanced life. It doesn't mean that we should not eat something. Buddhism never says us to die of starving. When we earn something, we should spend for our well-being, for our children, for our parents, for the, you know, virtuous persons. We should spend what we earned. That is very important. Why Buddha explained that? Why we should spend our money for our children, for our parents, for our relatives, for other people? We should succeed our family life. If our family life is not successful, actually it is very difficult to live in this world. That is why we should take care of our children very well. And also not only our children, but we should take care of our parents too. Buddha says, helping our parents or taking care of our parents is a supreme blessing. Not only we fulfill a duty, but we acquire some positive thoughts, meritorious deeds at the same time. And also taking care of our children, feeding our children, is also a supreme blessing, Mangala Karana, in Mangala Sutta, Buddha has explained. These are the things that we should practice for well-being in our this life. Have you any question?
Well, I was thinking beyond the family, you say that it's good for the, in the Buddha's time it was the man that went out to earn money, it's good for him to earn as much as possible, and then it's good for him to spend on his family, but surely it's also good to spread it, I know, to spread dana to monks, but also to the poor. That's not mentioned, is it?
Actually, Buddha has explained Buddha has explained if we can actually help even our parents too. But the most important thing is gratitude. Katanyuta, we should know that who helped me. That is the first thing. Sometimes we can't help them after they helped us. But we should know who helped me. That is the good quality. You know, sometimes there are some children who are blind, who are disabled. Actually, they can't help their parents. But they should know that how my elders have helped me. That is the good quality. Gratitude is also a very good quality. It is a blessing, supreme blessing that Buddha says. And if we can help others, we should do it. If we can't, it is okay. It is not a rule. But
I suppose, for instance, where it's saying work hard, earn as much money as you wish, it's then important how we spend the money. So, as Barbara's saying, once we've taken care of the family or relatives or close friends, it's important what we do with the money, so we do good with it, isn't it?
Yes, actually, sometimes we can spend money, sometimes we can help them, you know, if we have some sick person, sick relatives, then we can give some medicine for them.
Yeah.
In various ways we can practice it. not only particular way, not only giving money to them.
Mm.
It also should be done if we can.
Mm.
If we can't, we can do it. You know, in the world, there are some rich people, they do a lot of service to the world.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of money.
Mm.
Actually, that is very important. Some people can't earn money like that. Then we should help them if we can.
Mm.
You know, we are so fortunate. We are healthy. We are intelligent. We are wise. And also we have a lot of benefits. Our physical body is okay. We are healthy. But there are some people in the world who are unhealthy, who have mental problems. And our duty is to take care of them. Actually, we have received these benefits as the result of our previous good activities. While we are expending those results, at the same time, we have to collect new good karmas. That is very important. This is not actually a duty, but a meritorious way that we practice meritorious deeds. Actually, when we practice those things, benefits come to our life. When we take care of our children, when we help our parents, at that time our mind is so pure. That is the way of happiness. That is the art of happiness. We always understand how I develop my happiness day by day. That is why Buddha says, Dattvacha buddhvacha yathanubhavam anindito saggamu petitanam. The wise person earn money, spend money, and he spend a luxurious life. And also he help others. As the result of these activities, he spend a happy life. That is why if we take care of only our children, actually our happiness is very limited, a little. If we can take care of many people in the world, it means we know the way how we increase our happiness. According to Buddhist point of view, actually all the people, not only people, even animals, were our close relatives in our previous lives. We have been coming for a long time. It is a very long journey. In this samsaric journey, Buddha says, nobody is in this world who is not my mother or father. Not only among human beings, but among animal realms too. In this situation, helping others is one of our duties, if we can. Okay? And now we are going to next level. Secondary, Buddha says, and chattaro vyaggapajya dhamma kulaputtas samparaya hitaya sangvattati samparaya sukhaya katame chattaro saddha sampada sila sampada Chaga Sampada, Panya Sampada. Buddha explains here four conditions that help a householder's well-being and happiness in his future life. That is very important. This is a very, very important thing. That, sometimes when we read some English translations, we can get the real meaning. If we can read some text through Pali language, actually we can get more benefits. Okay, that is why I always quote here Pali words too. You know, when we look at Buddha's message, mostly, Buddha has explained heavenly path and deliverance path. When we have keen investigation, when we have good attention, if we know the order of Buddha's teachings, we can realize, first Buddha explained the heavenly path, finally Buddha explains deliverance path, or Mokkha Magga, the path to liberation. Both of them are very important. Some people can't get this idea because they don't know how to see the Buddhist canon, how to see the Buddhist doctrine. But here, I would like to explain the heavenly path and deliverance path. Even though the householder, Digadhanu, asks the Buddha that, Bhante, explain what are the things that are useful to my next birth. Buddha explains not only the things for the heaven, but Buddha has explained here which is the benefit for our liberation, how we overcome the samsaric circle. Both of them are in the same teachings. Okay? And there are four things here. One of them is here, Saddha Sampada, the accomplishment of confidence. Sila Sampada, the accomplishment of virtue. Chaga Sampada, the accomplishment of charity. Panya Sampada, the accomplishment of wisdom. These are the things. Actually, these four things are useful to next birth or a blissful life and liberation as well. In some levels, we can explain these four things. In the primary level, in the surface level, and the deeper level. Okay?
Are these like the perfections?
What is that?
Parameters.
Parami.
Yes. Yes, that is very good question. Parami also here. Sila paramita, dana paramita, panya paramita, they are here. Okay? Dana paramita is generosity, chaga. Sila paramita is virtue. Panya paramita, panya. All of them are here. But here, all of them are summarized here. If we are wise, if we know the way how to look at the Buddhist point of view, then we can realize how Buddha has explained those things here. Sometimes Buddha has explained those things in short, sometimes with details. Okay? Here, the first thing, I would like to explain these four things in both levels. First, I would like to explain these four things in the surface level, in the mundane level, with the understanding of the karmic law. Okay? And even panya can be divided into two. Even saddha also can be divided into two. Even virtue, generosity, all of them can be divided into two. Okay, first, I would like to explain in the surface level, in the mundane level. The very first understanding wisdom that we should have, the understanding of the karmic law. Whatever we do with intention, as volitional actions, we will have the same results. If our mind is polluted with negative thoughts, then our activities, our behavior, our words, our thoughts are incorrect, evil. They bring us black results, negative results. If our mind is pure and calm, that pure mind brings us happiness or fruitful results. Okay, here, first, Saddha Sampada. What is the saddha? Saddha means confidence in the triple gem. Confidence in Buddha's enlightenment, confidence in Buddha's words, confidence in the noble disciples, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. those three things are meditation techniques that we can practice to purify our mind. Contemplating on the qualities of the Buddha is one of the meditation techniques. What is that? Buddha Anusati Bhavana. In Buddhism, there are 40 meditation techniques. 40. Among them, contemplating on the qualities of the Buddha is one of them. Buddha Anusati. And Dhamma Anusati. Contemplating on the qualities of the sublime truth that Buddha explained. That is also one of the meditation techniques. Third one, Sangha Anusati. Contemplating on the qualities of the Mahasangha, Buddha's noble disciples, is also a meditation technique. And in the mundane level, in the conventional truth, when we contemplate on them, we purify our mind. At the moment, our mind has no negative thoughts, greed, anger, and delusion. Buddha says, if someone is confident in the triple gem, it is sure that he never goes to hell. If you have confidence in this triple gem, actually our mind is so powerful, so strong. At the moment, our mind is so pure and calm. It is a guarantee that we never go to the hell. This is the very important thing. The Supreme Buddha first pointed out the way not to fall down into the hell. That is why Buddha explains this pattern, confidence. The second one, Sila Sampada. We should have good discipline in our speech and behavior, especially if we can practice 5 precepts. Abstaining from taking life, abstaining from stealing, abstaining from sexual misconduct, abstaining from false speech, abstaining from intoxicating drinks and drugs causing heedlessness. If we have this foundation, be sure we never go to a lower realms. That is the thing that we are sure that we have a visa to go to a blissful life. Always, we should have the visa in our hand. Okay? We don't know whenever we will die. Sometimes, we may die in a very complex situation. That is why always, we should have a guarantee with a pure mind. And practicing virtue, having a good moral life, is a sign that we have a blissful life as soon as we leave this life. Sometimes people think that if we practice generosity, we can go to a blissful life. Actually, it is not sure. As the result of offering something to others, as the result of charity, we will have some benefits, some material things. But if we want a blissful life, we should practice sila or virtue. That is the very important thing. And here, the second one is practicing virtue, the accomplishment of virtue. Discipline in our speech and behavior. Still we are talking about the conventional truth. Still we believe that there is something outside. We are in the world. We are still in the samsaric circle. Okay? The third one is the charity. Offering something to others. be generous. When we practice loving kindness, actually, automatically we are generous. When we practice loving kindness, we think other people like our sons or daughters. Then we are ready to help them as much as we can, because we have a warm heart. We are compassionate. We have compassion. And we are ready to help others as much as we can. And even though we practice generosity, we think that there is a certain person outside. I am also a certain person. There is some certain thing that I deliver him. That is the nature of the conventional truth. The third one, Panya. Panya also can be divided into two. One of them is the karmic law. Understanding karmic law. Understanding karmic law is still in the samsaric circle. There are three karmas according to what Buddha has explained. I think I have mentioned you before. And there are four karmas. Three karmas belong to this circle. What they are? Black karmas. Karma means actions, volitional actions. White actions and black and white actions. What are the black actions, black karmas?
Killing.
Yes, whatever we do with polluted mind, impure mind, physically, verbally or mentally, those are the black actions, which consequence black results, negative results, harmful results, painful results. The second one is white actions. Buddha says, there are white actions which consequence white results. What they are? Whatever we do with pure mind, physically, verbally or mentally, those are the white actions. Sudu karma, sukha karma, which consequence fruitful results, white results. That is the second one. What is the third one? Third one is, there are some actions which are black and white, that consequence black and white results. In sometimes we practice good deeds, another time we practice good deeds. In Buddhism it says, in the daytime, we steal something. We do bad deeds. At night, we take care of our parents, we take care of our children. Sometimes we practice generosity, charity at night. In the daytime, it's another person. In the nighttime, another person. In the same life, he does both actions, black and white. As the result of black and white karmas, after we live this life, we will be some krelans, that in sometimes we have good results, sometimes we have bad results. Sometimes when we come to the human realm, we have actually sugati or blissful life. Sometimes some people are very unhealthy, some are mad, some have a lot of problems, some are very poor, some are very mad because of their some bad actions. However, this is the karmas, especially as the understanding of the karmic law in the level of wisdom, panya, we practice white actions, sudu karma, sukha karma. In the level of surface level, karma, understanding of karma, we practice good deeds, keeping our mind pure and calm. Now, here we explained the heavenly path. Okay, still we are in the sansaric circle. Even though we practice good deeds, we are not away from challenges. What are the challenges in our life? What are the real challenges in our life? According to Buddhism, there are three challenges in our lives.
Death, aging, rebirth.
Yes, very good. Aging or decay, the suffering of aging, the suffering of death, the suffering of rebirth. These are the main challenges.
Even can I ask a question? Because we were thinking last night in a way about this. If you have led a very good life, and actually a Buddhist life, and being aware of the Buddha's teaching, and you've reached old age, and you get, and you become a victim of dementia, at that point you can't use your mind anymore. So would it be that it's only the actions up until the time when you lost control of what you were doing that have karmic results, and in the time when you're dementia, that you would have no karma?
Yes, actually things that even though we are in a situation of dementia, in our subconsciousness, actually still we are acquiring some karma. In the upper level, we think that we don't think anything, but in the surface level, still our karma is processing. And however, even though we can control our five senses, if we have done good deeds, we never fall down into the lower realms. Because our good actions follow us. And in the surface level, actually we talked in first in the surface level things. And even though we don't believe next birth, if we have done good deeds, we can attain a blissful life. You know, some people in the world, they don't believe next life. But they take care of their parents, they are generous, they are gratitude, they are grateful. And sometimes they have good discipline. They don't kill others, they don't steal, they don't have sexual misconduct, they don't take drinks. Actually, even though they don't practice a religion, they have a moral life. Even though they don't believe next life, they can attain a blissful life as the result of practicing these good deeds. Yes, please.
In a non-Buddhist educational circumstances that most of us were brought up in, we are often encouraged to believe, especially if we're not religious at all, that this life is the life where if we behave in a non-moral way, we will experience hell. So, do you agree that the suffering that we have when we are, say, unkind to others or when we feel anger, that suffering could be our own placing ourselves into hell by not into hell now, here and now, not necessarily in a rebirth situation, not necessarily after death, but to experience suffering that our behaviour has caused on this earth is a type of hell that we are often educated into thinking this way, and I find it easier to think that way, but it's not necessarily a Buddhist.
Not sure what you're saying.
Just saying it's hell experience
exactly.
In your life now. That's what
when we do not behave in a moral way, we suffer the consequences.
There's hell in life.
Yeah, because you have all the stress.
So you're talking about hell as a mental state.
Actually that is why, you know, a lot of psychiatrists for last 4 or 5 decades they are recommended to practice loving kindness and mindfulness for stress management.
Yes.
Even though some people don't believe their next birth or previous lives, most of them want to overcome their suffering, their stress. Mm-hmm. That is why they go for counselors and psychiatrists.
Yes.
When they have mental problems, especially psychiatrists and counselors recommended to practice for them, you know, loving kindness, because anger is the main reason why we are stressed. And also, not only loving kindness, but we should live in the present moment. In the present moment, we have no problems. The thing is, whenever we are in the past experience or future experience, mentally, that is the problem. Keeping our mind in the present moment, one of the solutions that we can practice to overcome is stress. That is why, you know, some Buddhist teachings are in some experiments of some doctors, especially psychiatrists. They don't say that this is Buddhism. Why is that? Some people don't believe some religious teachings. But if they are ready to practice when some doctors like recommend something to practice, that is why, even though they are very grateful, they never say that these are the Buddhist concepts. They want to recover their patients. That is why they recommend us to practice loving kindness and mindfulness. Especially, last 4-5 decades, when you read some experiments, psychological experiments, most of them have explained us to practice loving kindness for stress management. Those are the things that we can practice to overcome suffering, especially anger. Anger and other thing is attachment. Actually, anger also arises because of attachment. Attachment and anger are the both sides of the same coin. If we are more angry, it means we have more attachments. That is why when we reduce anger, automatically attachment also reduces. When we reduce attachment, automatically anger reduces. According to Buddhist point of view. The other thing is, if we are always angry, actually it is not a disadvantage for our, not only for this life, but it is one of the reasons to go to a lower realms too. Especially, you know, when we are angry, we have no real happiness in our life. That is why Buddha has explained, he who wants to attain peace of mind has to practice loving kindness. Thinking, may all beings be well, happy and peaceful. That is why, you know, a lot of people in the world, in the current society, they practice meditation. They don't practice Buddhism, but they practice meditation. In the meditation, they especially practice loving kindness and mindfulness. You know, in our country, in Sri Lanka, some Muslims, some Islam students, in their schools, they practice mindfulness. Sometimes Buddhist monks guide them. Yes. Buddhist monks train some teachers, some Muslim teachers, for mindfulness. But the Buddhist monks, they don't teach them Buddhism. They teach them mindfulness. How we work mindfully? Working mindfully helps us to live peacefully. That is why a lot of people in the world, without any differences, as religions, caste or anything, most of them practice these concepts, especially loving kindness and mindfulness. If we know Buddhism, we can go to the deeper level. You know, even in the Buddha's time, there were some people who practiced loving kindness, who practiced mindfulness. One day, some other religious person asked some Buddha's disciples that, we practice loving kindness. Your master, the Blessed One, also teaches loving kindness. Both of them are same. One day, other religious person asks. At that time, Buddha says, in some levels we are same, but our practice in loving kindness focuses on getting rid of suffering completely. Not only getting rid of anger, not only achieving for some jhanas, with the concentrated mind, practicing loving kindness, finally we go to insight meditation. We go to reflect on impermanence with the concentrated mind. Practicing loving kindness is not the end of Buddhist doctrines. It is only one of the steps. It is not the destination. Destination is the wisdom. Okay, here we still discuss with them the conventional truth. Okay? The heavenly path. Here we can go to the deeper level. Now I am going to explain the second level in the supramundane level. Ultimate truth, absolute truth. Please be sensitive to these things that I explain you. And the first one is the accomplishment of confidence in the Triple Gem. Here, we especially believe, we are especially confident in the Buddha's enlightenment. What is that? Buddha's enlightenment means that in the first level, we are confident in Buddha's noble qualities. Here we are confident in what the Buddha taught, his understanding, his enlightenment, his comprehension. And here we believe that what Buddha realized, what Buddha understood, and he understood that the suffering and the cessation of suffering. What he explained, Buddha says, he who knows the dependent origination sees the Dhamma. He who sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. Understanding dependent origination is the way to understand the Buddha. Until we understand what Buddha taught, actually we have no real confidence. When we know the Buddha throughout understanding the Dhamma, that confidence is very strong. Nobody can change that strong confidence. That is the thing that we should have in the second level. What Buddha taught. Whenever we look at something with ignorance, suddenly our mind is fixed in outside things and persons. Even though we are happy at the moment, even though we are neutral, we are in equanimity, looking at something, if our mind is fixed in outside, it means we are not away from suffering, we are in the samsaric circle. Anytime suffering can change our mental condition. And this is the place where we should be confident in. If we have this confidence, we are hurry to practice this message. Why is that? If our mind is fixed in outside with ignorance, we have to suffer. we are suffering. We are not away from suffering. If we want to overcome aging, death, sickness, and rebirth, we have to overcome depending on outside. If our mind is fixed outside, here, when you change, when you are going to old age, I am suffering. If I depend on even my own body, when my body is going to old age, I am suffering because I think that my body is going to old age, my body is going to sicknesses, I am going to die. I am afraid of my problems, my sufferings. The reason is that I depend on these material things. If we can overcome this misunderstanding, if we can keep our attention in wisdom, at the moment, actually, we can feel our age, sickness, death or rebirth. Why is that? We don't depend on material things. Whenever you reflect on impermanence, at the moment, you are not suffering. At the moment, even though you are heavily sick, you don't feel your sickness. Even though you are in very high age, you don't feel your age at the moment. Even though you die at the moment, your mind is not fixed anything outside. You completely depend on your wisdom. It means you never go to another life. As soon as you die here, your mind is like a lamp which blanks, which put off here. Our mind suddenly ceases at the moment. Our mind is not ready to go to another life because we see very well rising and ceasing of our mind at the moment with the understanding of cause and effect and living in the wisdom. And this is the place where we should be confident in the absolute truth, in the supramundane level. In the mundane level, we contemplate on Buddha's qualities and we purify our mind from anger and desire. In the deeper level, we purify our mind from ignorance or delusion. The second one, the contemplation of virtue. Virtue in the conventional truth, in the mundane level, we think that I am a person. I have a discipline. I never say something which is false. I never say it. I don't kill. There is a person here. I don't kill. In the mundane level. And what is the nature of supramundane level of virtue? In Karani Metta Sutta, Mr. Will, can you remember? Dittin chanupagamma silava dasanena sampanno.
I remember the Pali words, but I can't remember what they mean.
Dittincha anupagamma silava dasanina sampanno. That is the virtue which is in supramundane level. It means we practice virtue without going to extremes. What are the extremes? We don't think there is something or there isn't something. If we think there is something outside, that is an extreme. If we think there is nothing outside, that is also an extreme. Buddha says, when someone ceases the arising of five aggregates, he never goes to the extreme of nothing. When someone sees the cessation of five aggregates, he never goes to the extreme of there is something. Every moment, five aggregates arises with the conditions and immediately it ceases. Arising, ceasing, arising, ceasing. If we have this understanding clearly, we don't go to the extremes as there is or there isn't. That is a very deep concept. Actually, don't worry. You are so intelligent and you are so wise, you can understand. Okay, because for a long time you have been practicing Dhamma, you have been listening to Dhamma. You are able to understand this message when you listen in it again and again. Okay? And this is the real virtue that Buddha explained in the supramundane level, in the bottom level. That is very important. It belongs to absolute truth. Now, we are disciplined and we think that there are something outside. We should have a moral life. I should not disturb others because I am a social being. Therefore, I should have a discipline. If I do something bad things, I have to go to the jail or prison. Then I don't do those things. It belongs to in the mundane level, in the conventional truth. But, you know, when we go to the deeper level, we have no person to kill. We have no person to tell lies. We don't find a person for sexual misconduct. As soon as we look at something, we know very well, the first experience as is that I recognize those things and persons in my mind. Then my discipline in inside. In the conventional truth, our discipline in outside. When we go to the deeper level with the understanding of what Buddha taught, our discipline arises inside. We don't go outside. Suddenly, you know, like when we go to the mirror, suddenly we know the person is here. We have no attachment with the shadow in the mirror. Like that. When we experience something outside, we know there are four fundamental elements outside. But that also arises at the moment. It is impermanent. And these things are visible according to our present mental conditions. When my present mental condition changes, automatically these things change. In this present moment, when I look at here, I meet only six persons here. When my mind changes, I may see more than six beings here, around here. Then I can see a lot of gods and divine beings around here. This is not the absolute truth, what I experience here. This is the thing that I experience belongs to what is my mental condition in the present.
So, would it be accurate to say that mental projections, would that be in English? Would that be
proliferation?
Yes.
So, like projecting from the mind, mental projections. Like watching a film, we are projecting all of this from our mind.
Yes, sometimes we can compare it, but when we go to a deeper level, it is very difficult to compare. Okay? The thing is, the projection sometimes can be seen by many people at the same time. But this experience belongs to a particular person. That is the main difference. When I look at you, you are a devotee. When another person who is your son, when he looks at you, you are mother.
Mm.
So we each experience everything individually.
Yes, individual experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So it's like that series about the brain on BBC4. everybody's reality is inside their own skull.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's in their mind, but it's in the skull.
Well, they actually said, in darkness within the skull. Remember?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure I've seen it, but...
Mm. Okay, the second one is the accomplishment of virtue. We discuss it as absolute truth. The third one, charity. Charity also different in this level, in the supramundane level. Now we think that there is a person who is very poor. I am very rich. I have a lot of things. I should offer something. There is permanent thing that I can offer to you. Then, this is also a merit, but in the samsaric circle. When we go to the deeper level, we help others. Then we don't take something or someone as myself. That is the deeper level understanding. We practice generosity in this level, even, you know, even Buddha, even some arhantas, they have practiced generosity. They have donated something to others. But they practice this quality without going to extreme of myself. That is the highest level of generosity. That is the pure generosity. Now, when we offer something to others, we hope a return. I have helped you. You should be grateful to me. Then, even though I don't tell it, I think it. One day you should help me.
Or we think we'll get merit from the return.
It's like a transaction.
We need a return.
Pure generosity.
In the primary level. Mm.
Yeah, doing it for ourselves.
Yes. And sometimes we need a blissful life as the result of practicing generosity. I am wishing a blissful life hereafter. That is also in the conventional truth. When we go to the deeper level in practicing generosity, we don't find a certain person as a soul, as a self, as myself. That's the deeper level generosity. The third, fourth one, the accomplishment of wisdom. Panyasambada. In the primary level, we discuss the understanding of the karmic law. In the deeper level, we can understand panya, impermanence, reflecting on impermanence, arising and ceasing. Every moment our eye arises, forms arise, they immediately cease. My ear arises, sounds arise. My nose arises, smell arises, my tongue arises, my taste arises, my body, feelings, mind, mental formations. They arise and immediately they cease without remaining anything. If we can keep our attention in this reality, actually this is the highest attitude what Buddha taught on the path of liberation. Our real success depends on how far we have overcome suffering. Getting rid of suffering completely depends on the duration of reflecting on impermanence, arising and ceasing of our all experiences. Our 6 internal senses and 6 external objects, all of them are instant. In our spiritual life, according to absolute truth, we have nothing which are ready-made.
Nothing which are
ready-made. Every moment we create those things according to our present mental condition. In the conventional truth, you can buy something which are ready-made. But in our spiritual life, in the absolute truth, we have nothing which are permanent, which are ready-made. When you go to the kitchen, mixing water, tea, sugar, you prepare a tea. Like that. Every moment, through our eye, through our ear, through our nose, we create, we make something, we make experiences at the moment. That present experience didn't come to the present from the past. That present experience will not go to future from the present. But the past experience influences the present thought. The present thought influences the next thought. But nothing came to the present from the past. Nothing goes to future from the present as permanent. If we can keep our attention in this reality, worldly reality, then Buddha says, we are able to live happily without anger among those who are angry. We can live happily without sensual pleasure among the people, those who are seeking sensual pleasure. Then we can live happily without negative thoughts, defilements among the people, those who have a lot of defilements, negative thoughts in their mind. Then we are like a lotus flower. Lotus flower arises in the mud, but it doesn't touch mud or water. It has come from the water and mud. We are also like that with this understanding. We live with the ordinary people in the society. We can live with them in the same house physically, but mentally we are different. Our point of view, our thinking pattern is completely different. You know, when we look at the mirage, at the same time another animal can see the mirage. Both of them see the same thing, but the understanding is different. We can go to the mirror. At the same time, an animal can go to the mirror. Both of them can see the same thing, but understanding is different. When we live in this society, when we live at home with your children, with your relatives, their sin and your sin is same. But your point of view, your thinking style is completely different. When their mind is fixed in outside material things and persons, you look at inside. When they are suffering, you have overcome suffering. When they are struggling with others, you have calmed down. You are living in the equanimity. Little by little, we should go forward on this path. That is the thing that Buddha has pointed out us very kindly. This is the path for getting rid of suffering. This is the path for the liberation. This is the path for the enlightenment. Have any question? Please ask.
So, at what point would someone become a stream enterer? I mean, in the teaching, when you have understood the Buddhist teaching and are practicing, as you say, I've read that you become a stream enterer, and then
Suttapanna.
Suttapanna, and then you would need seven, perhaps rebirths before you achieved complete mm-hmm. liberation. And I'm thinking, if you had a rebirth as a Sotapanna, you would have to go through the normal birth and childhood and learning experiences, so you would still have to be in the world and responding and learning as an ordinary person. But at some point, if you were already a stream enter, would your karma sort of create this situation where you understood at a higher level almost immediately?
Actually, sometimes not only Sotapanna, but there are Sakadagami persons who were born in this world.
Yeah.
Even though they are very so young, their wisdom is okay. You know, even though their senses are very weak, their intelligence, their wisdom is okay.
Yeah.
They look at the reality as it is. They are rich in wisdom. Even though they are not strong physically, mm-hmm. mentally they are so strong. Mm-hmm. For example, I can show some pictures you. There are some very young children who are less than 4 years, actually in Sri Lanka, who were born in Sri Lanka. They explain this message, especially Paticca-samuppada, dependent origination, cause and effect, impermanence. They explain very well. Actually, we can fight with their wisdom.
We have a saying sometimes when we see children that seem to be wise. We do have a saying that says they've been here before, haven't we?
Old souls.
Old souls. We do have an instinct.
Especially, you know, there were some people who were in Buddha's time in the, you know, in the human realm or some heavenly realm. They had listening to Buddha's message. As the result of listening to this message, they already have become some spiritual levels. Mm-hmm. And even though physically they are so young, their mind is so strong. You know? Wisdom is like these lights, like that we practice virtue and concentration. With these lights, if we write something, even though light put off, the letter, what we wrote is, it remains. Our wisdom also lying there. If we have practiced wisdom in our previous lives, we never go to a lower realm. And also, even though we were born in this human realm, in very pure, very poor, very complex places, and nobody can disturb our wisdom, because that wisdom is so strong. When they gradually growing up, they go to the proper place to develop their another thing, their wisdom. And by born, there are some people who are jata-sotapanna. Jata-sotapanna means by born they are sotapanna. In this time, present time also, we can see somewhere who are jata-sotapanna, who are sotapanna by born. It means not only they attain sotapanna when they were born, but in previous life, they have developed their mind listening to Dhamma. Sometimes they have met the Buddha in the human realm or in the heavenly realm or in the Brahma realm. They have seen the Buddha, and not only seen, but they have listening to what Buddha taught. By listening to Dhamma, they have practiced already Dhamma. They have already attained some spiritual statements. And now they have to practice from where they have stopped. And they never go to the lower realms.
There was a television program some years ago, it's probably in books as well, when senior monks would travel around a particular country looking for the next Dalai Lama or another
rebirth.
And they were looking at children, very young children, and they would go and ask them particular questions and show them objects, and they were trying to find, so they were looking for particular signs that would show that this was the next Dalai Lama, wasn't it?
Yes.
To what you're saying.
Yes, that is correct. Actually,
a special child.
You are correct. Actually, there are two themes in the world. We should be wise to understand those variations. That there are some persons who can read, who can say their previous lives. Where I was there, who were my parents, where I was living in my previous lives. Some very young children can say. When they grow up, actually they forget it. That is one of the things. But this thing, like Sotapanna, is not like that. That memory, when they grow up, those memory gradually decreases. But the wisdom is not like that. Wisdom gradually increases day by day. And that wisdom never reduces. And when our physical body gradually increases, our wisdom also gradually increases. Because we have already practiced panya or wisdom, that panya is very strong. You know, other things, memory can be reduced. But prajna is not like that. Prajna is a very, you know, like a diamond. Diamond never can be destroyed. Even though we fight, even though we keep it in a dustbin, we can never destroy it. Natti panya sama abha, Buddha says, nothing is like panya, which is a very shine. This is related to panya. Like Sotapanna person. Not only Sotapanna, there are some persons who are Sakadagami, the second step of the spirituality. They also come back to the world. And they come to the world only one time. But Sotapanna person can come to this world for 7 times. That is the difference.
But maybe less can come. So, could a link to what Barbara was saying, could a Sotapanna or the higher one develop dementia?
I think, yes.
Yes, I'm sorry, I have to go soon. I wonder if you could explain these last stanzas here about the Paticca Samuppada.
Yes.
That is the end of the, you know, the lecture,
yes.
Otherwise.
Yes. Actually, that is the thing that we should understand to achieve wisdom. This is the system of the dependent origination. Asmin sati dam hoti. When this is been, this comes to be. Imasa upadai dam upajati. With the arising of this, this arises. Asmin asati dam hoti. This is, and this not been, this doesn't come to be. Imasa nirodha idam nirujyati. With the cessation of this, this ceases. This is the nature of the dependent origination, arising and ceasing. That when conditions are together, the experience arises. When conditions cease, the experience automatically ceases. This is the rule of the dependent origination. This is the foundation of the cause and effect. This is the foundation of the dependent origination. If we can understand this reality, we are able to understand all the things in the world. This helps us to achieve the wisdom. Without understanding this process, we are unable to achieve the real wisdom. Okay, this is the process of cause and effect. Patisamuppada. Having higher wisdom, Buddha says, dwell with yourself as an island, with yourself as a refuge, with no other refuge. We should make a refuge in our mind with the Dhamma. And again Buddha says, Dhamma Deepa Bhikkhu Viharata Dhamma Sarana Ananya Sarana. Dwell with the Dhamma as an island, with the Dhamma as a refuge, with no other refuge. We can only trust in Dhamma. Dhamma means the reality. How suffering arises, or how our life arises and ceases. If we can realize this truth, actually this is the real refuge in our life. As much as we understand this reality, we are ready to go on this path. This path cannot be divided into two. One of them is the understanding for listening. The second one is reflecting on it again and again. The third one is by practicing concentration and insight meditation, we should see this experience in our own life. Listening to Dhamma, reflecting on it again and again, or wise consideration, and see this truth throughout meditation.
Would it be possible to have a guided meditation in relation to that 1 week?
Yeah.
Relating to dependent origination. Is that possible? So we understand what you mean when you meditate on that.
Yeah, meditation helps us to see this reality.
Mm.
When our mind is calmed down, it is very easy to see this reality, what we heard.
Mm.
Sometimes, while we are listening to them at the moment, automatically our mind is concentrated, then we can see the reality. Not only here say that meditation like closing our eyes, but sometimes while we are opening our eyes, we are meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much
for
your
participation,
for your discussion. By the power of
when our bodies are hungry.
Ah, yes, I know.
<Then we cannot.
laughs> Okay. By the power of all these merits, may our departed relatives and guardian deities also receive these merits, and may they also attain final bliss of liberation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Dukkha patta jani dukkha, bhaya patta jani bhaya. Soka patta jani soka hontu sambe pipanino. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.